5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
When are you guys gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. Facts. It's Trump 2024. We don't care. You heard me? We already made our mind up. You already know when the hood got your back. Man, they deep in the hood, gangsters, hollering about Trump 2024. You heard me? Woo, woo, wah. Gangsters. The hood got this man back. I'm just trying to tell you. You heard me? And we ain't stupid, man, American people, man. We ain't all them talking about lockdowns and back wearing the masks and all that. You know, they got a new virus coming and it's going to be, man, nobody don't care. Ain't fooling nobody no more with none of that. You know, new jack, man, nobody being fooled no more. We all the way up, you heard me? It's Trump 2024. That's what it's going to be because we ain't having nothing else.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Okay, hour number three. We're in the home stretch of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Delighted as always to sit behind the mic and share just some common sense conservative values with you. You know, the predicate of today's show, based on Chuck Schumer and all of the Senate Democrats just saying, no, we're not going to hear the evidence to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. No, we're going to break with precedent. That's over 220 years. We're not going to do our job. We don't care. We're above the law. You don't matter. We don't care about all the hard work you've done. We're going to go home. Suck it. This is what they've done repeatedly. You know, this is the stonewalling, the slow walk, the delay, the deny, the finger pointing, all of it to obfuscate, to blur your vision, to throw you off the scent, and to pretend that they've done nothing wrong. When what we have is a government of liars and cheaters, of blackmail, of suck, of some real, real dirty stuff. And it's coming out every single day. So we can bounce back to the 2020 election when we weren't allowed to see the evidence. Don't want to see the visitor, or not the visitor, the chain of custody logs for the ballots. We don't want to see this. We can't see that. Oh, we didn't know you needed that. Those thumb drives, you know, those the routers, what? You mean the stuff you were supposed to save by federal law for 22 months under our election codes? You guys just decided to be like, oh, I didn't know. Sort of like Hillary's phone, her BlackBerry, her router, all of that stuff, right? All the emails, smash them up. That's what we do. Bounce on over to the January 6th debacle, right? Where's all the video? Well, you're not supposed to see that. Nancy Pelosi wanted to put it on a shelf for 50 years, you guys. All of the documents, all of the video. We don't need to see that. So she tried to put it on a shelf with the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? The Ark of the Covenant. Stick it back in some warehouse in D.C. and nobody knows about it. We don't want to talk about that. The testimony of the people on January 6th committee stuff. The things that they said, the things that they lied about. Cassidy Hutchinson changing her testimony. Changing 47 items that she said. Oh, we don't have that. It's like the visitor logs to the Penn Biden Center. It's the visitor logs ever to Camp David. Visitor logs to the White House. Well, sorry, I'm not allowed to see that. This is a special kind of suck. And there's an organization called America First Legal. And I find this on their website, which is aflegal.com. And it says America First Legal sues HHS Secretary Becerra and the National Archives following investigation revealing the Biden administration illegally deletes former CDC employees' email illustrating two-tiered system of justice. So, what? The National Archives, NARA, they sure do come around a lot, don't they? According to the National Archives, it's no big whoop that Joe Biden has classified documents stuffed in a freaking water-damaged box in his basement. And then he told his ghostwriter years ago, I found a bunch of classified documents. Wow. It's no big whoop that they found, you know, how many boxes at the Penn Biden Center, where at the same time, so weird, anonymous Chinese donors were giving millions of dollars to the University of Pennsylvania. After which point, the president of the University of Pennsylvania gets elevated by Joe Biden to become an ambassador of a foreign country. It's just all so wild, isn't it? Right. So now you got CDC staffers, people who are inside the CDC. But there's like 25,000 employees at the CDC. Do you think we could maybe tighten some belts? Maybe cut some budgets before we drop more taxes on us? Some folks inside the CDC were like, you know what? There's some shady crap going on. And so they sent emails. And the emails were deleted. We can't let people see that. What? So let's get into this. Today, America First Legal sued Secretary Javier Becerra, another Biden cabinet member of SOC, who believes he's above the law. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the archivist of the United States Colleen Shogan and the National Archives and Records Administration, NARA, for illegally destroying federal records from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, violation of the Federal Records Act. Why have laws, right? Why have parameters? Here are the guide rails. Stay here. Some days you're going to kind of veer a little bit, but you got to stay in between these lines. These are not negotiable. That's a sharp cliff. You're not going there. Well, except now they are. There are no more rules. There is no more precedent. The Constitution, Chuck Schumer just said to us, in the ultimate FU in the Senate, right? We're not going to do our job that constitutionally we're supposed to do. Sorry. Happy hour somewhere. Let's go. I'm driving. So what did this do? Of course, federal law requires that every agency make and preserve all their records containing adequate and proper documentation, blah, 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 for a period of time. Yet in a routine email regarding the disclosure of these records, the CDC told America First Legal that the CDC routinely deletes the emails of nearly all of its employees 30 days after they leave the agency. So you can be a whistleblower and say, you know what? I'm really not cool with this. I'm watching some jazz going down. You guys changed all the COVID data on the website. You guys knew what was going on and you pushed it anyway. Well, sorry, says the CDC to said whistleblower. We're no longer in need of your employment. Best wishes. We hope you're happy wherever you go. Watch the clock and blink. Gone. People who are honest, people who have nothing to hide, don't do that. They don't need notes. They don't need binders with color-coded tabs. They don't need cheat sheets that tell them to whom they should speak. They don't have ghost phones. They don't have pseudonyms and aliases and shell companies and family members in on it. All of these people think that they are above the law. Now, apparently the National Archives investigated the allegations. This is the freaking what? Guarding the hen house, right? You don't let the wolf or whatever guard the hen house. That's what they did. NARA's like, you know what? We're going to come in and investigate. That's like Peter Daszak being a part of the World Health Organization team, going to the Wuhan Institute of Virology to investigate the origins of COVID when he was the origin of COVID. And he comes back and he's like, you know what? I'm thinking it was some soup. It was some bat soup. It was a wet market. There was this weird thing that happened. It was a full moon. Like, right? It was this weird moon. And that's what happened. Yeah, I'm sticking to that. Next. Oh, matter closed. Zzz, delete all proof. You guys getting the gist of all of this? I mean, the details of how sordid and nasty these people are, it's almost irrelevant. Because you've seen the same play, the same pattern. If you're going to steal, you need to hide the evidence. If you're going to cheat, You need to destroy all of the incriminating proof. Then you need a system of browbeating, blackmail, and bribery to make sure the people who know about it know that you know that they know about it and that you'll take them out if they do anything about it. You threaten them. You roll up at their house, bang on the door, take them away with guns, freak out the neighborhood, scare the family, and send a loud message to everybody else. Yeah, about that. About you little CDC employees who noticed some stuff. Well, what are you going to do about it? So, the National Archives investigated these allegations. The National Archives, who worked with the Biden administration to raid Mar-a-Lago. The National Archives, who plays a disgusting role as Donald Trump is being prosecuted for having presidential records. You've got Secretary Becerra, the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Archives being sued for breaking the law and destroying documents, clearly because they are incriminating. And NARA is supposed to investigate itself. What could go wrong? Right? What could go wrong? It's like you're being told that Ray Epps isn't a Fed. No, he's not. He's just a really good guy, right? What? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I love when NBC gets butthurt over Donald Trump. It happens every day. But this is a particular aching of the rump region because of Trump's trip to the bodega in Harlem. How dare he? Oh boy, I got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So I saw this story on CNBC. I was attracted by it. I'm one of those like shiny object. I'm like, ooh, it's so pretty. Ooh, glitter, right? I hate glitter. Trump gripes he can't reject unlimited jurors in his New York hush money trial. This kind of strikes me as when Neil Cavuto proved to me that he was a hack. And he said on his radio show or his TV show, he said, there are 90-odd charges against Donald Trump on all four of his indictments. They can't all be wrong, can they? Yeah. Yeah, they can. Why couldn't they be? You're just going to roll the dice and the odds will tell you, well, they got to be telling the truth about one of these things. No, they don't. And that's what's going on here. Trump has said, Donald Trump said, it's so unfortunate that the jury pool I get, that the people they put in the pool are almost all objectionable, whether it's because of their political affiliations or the sources of news that they get, or whether or not they believe that Donald Trump is fascinating. I think he's so fascinating. Weird. So Trump yesterday was like, I'm baffled that I only can challenge and basically say to 10 jurors and to one challenge each of the alternate jurors we have to see. So for a total of 14, he gets 12 challenges, ostensibly. And that apparently is the rule. What he was grumbling about was, how can you have the most ridiculous case based on there's no evidence that I ever did anything? I didn't sleep with her. I didn't pay her. She admits it. Michael Cohen's attorney admits it. Everybody knows it. It's come out since that Cohen and Stormy Daniels were having sex. He concocted in that relationship this allegation of impropriety with Donald Trump and as a matter to extort money. Who knows what it was? And Michael Cohen ended up paying the money to Stormy Daniels. Donald Trump did not. That is what this case is about. And I guess some documentation that Alvin Bragg is saying that Donald Trump did that is criminal. Okay, whatever. Donald Trump is saying, I cannot get a fair trial in New York City. There's just no way. And they've stacked the deck to ensure that I cannot. So I want you to hear this story, all right? Donald Trump, this is on CNBC.com. Donald Trump complained Wednesday that his lawyers were not given unlimited chances to reject prospective jurors at his New York criminal hush money trial. But state law caps the number of would-be jurors his lawyers can strike without cause. Basically, I'm not giving you a reason. I don't like you. Goodbye. You get a number of those 10. Trump had received the correct number of strikes given the typical or the type of criminal charges he faces. 10 peremptory strikes. I'm not a lawyer, sorry, for jurors, plus another 2 for every alternate juror. So I was wrong. 14 strikes. I thought strikes were supposed to be unlimited when we were picking our jury. Trump wrote in a post on Truth Social, where he owns the media and everybody involved in this. I was then told we only had 10, not nearly enough, when we were purposely given the second worst venue in the country. His complaints came a day after the first 7 jurors were picked for the trial in Manhattan's Supreme Court, 5 more jurors and 6 alternates. All right, so he's got a lot more to seat here. Remain to be seated with the jury selection process resuming today and a group of 96 potential jurors in that. In criminal trials in New York, both the prosecutors and the defense are allowed a certain number of peremptory strikes, la, 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 and then it goes into all of this stuff. The part of this that was so surprising to me, not even surprising to me, comes here at the bottom of the article, and I'll get to in a minute. Although Trump is considered innocent until proven guilty, they quote some New York criminal defense attorney named Jeremy Salland, who is a regular on all of your left-wing news outlets, right? This kind of nonsense. Donald Trump saying this, like, why would I only get 10 when I have the worst venue and the worst pool ever? It's crazy. This guy is quoted in this CNBC story saying Donald Trump's comments are really hurtful to law and order, right? But the case gets particularly snippy at the end. The story does. Because they were really upset that Trump visited the store where the bodega clerk stabbed to death a guy who was ostensibly going to kill him. In self-defense. And Trump went there because this guy rots in jail. And the overarching takeaway of this article is that Donald Trump is using the circumstance that the skewed and completely demented justice system has given him. He's using it. And he's winning. He got Harlem to come out to see, to catch a glimpse of him. And the message just the presidential limousine conveys in any zip code, but let alone in Harlem, there ain't no way Joe Biden's competing with that. There is no way. And the Latinos, the black voters, they see it, my friends. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, you know, I'm going to say that California is America's Canada. If you want to see what dark looks like, where the progressive cliff is, just focus on California. I'm going to tell you why and how children have to do with this next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I think when you begin to see lunacy, it's very hard to not see it. Once you begin to awaken, once something happens in your life and you realize that you haven't been paying attention to something that's kind of pivotal, and you start to connect the dots and things start to fill in the picture of the puzzle on the table, you can feel really dumb. I have felt very dumb, very small, extraordinarily naive. And I think you kind of have to feel like that for a while. You have to be wounded for a while. And then all of a sudden you start to see things differently. And you can go well far the other way. Like, we had a gas guy at our house yesterday. They're replacing some gas line on our street. And this is only affecting like 12 homes. So the guy knocks on the door. He wants to come in the house. He has a meter looking like thing, like some kind of a gauge. And he's like, hey, I'm with a gas company. We've been doing some work out here, and I need to come in your house and make sure the pilot light and everything, that there's no air in the line. Now, it's a reasonable story, and it seemed like it made sense, but I didn't ask for his identification. I have no idea who he was. And I was uncomfortable with that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We need to be aware. We need to be suspicious. Because when you're on alert, you're less likely to be duped, hurt, or worse. But seeing something that I think is such an ugly underbelly, and not just of America, but of humanity, is this sex trafficking stuff. And if you've never looked at a child in any other way other than a parental or supportive adult way, it's really hard to wrap your mind around the idea that it's not just happening, it's freaking pervasive. And it has eclipsed the drug trade as like the number one most lucrative global enterprise. The buying and selling of human beings for sex. Right? So you're already mystified. Like, what? This is going on? And then you pay attention to what's going on in California. I love California. California sucks. I'm sorry if you're from California, because Pennsylvania sucks too. And that's where I am. You cannot tell me that as a Democrat, you're okay with adults buying children for the express purpose of either having sex with them or selling them to others for such endeavors. You cannot tell me that that is rational in any world. And yet that's exactly what is going on. How is this possible? So there's this state senator. And her name is Shannon Grove. And Shannon Grove has worked with sex assault, sex slavery survivors. These are grown-ups who are children when it happened to them. And they've come to her and they've said, Shannon, we need to make this a felony. Do you guys know that in California, if you buy a child, how this happens, where it happens, I have no idea, but it happens. And it's vile. And the people who are a part of this are absolutely disgusting human beings. And I will say, with every ounce of my soul, I believe in hell. And they're going. In California right now, if you buy a child and you want to have sex with that child and you get caught, it's a misdemeanor. Say what? It's a misdemeanor? First of all, sexualizing a child is disgusting and reprehensible. But now we've got these people in California too, other places as well, normalizing. We don't want to call it pedophilia. That's so dirty sounding. We'd like to call ourselves minor attracted persons, maps. It's the normalizing of the abnormal. This is exactly what the infiltration of communism and all this was about. Scramble everything that's normal, flip it on its head, and create a new normal. No, 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 no. So how about this? As Shannon Grove puts together a bill, legislation, cares about this. I would too. I'm a mom. You don't have to be a mom. You have to be a woman. You have to be a decent freaking human being. That shouldn't be a big ask. It's a big ask. She puts together this bill and it's like, hey, this is gross that this is going on. But if you try to sell a minor for sex or purchase one, it's called a felony and there's jail time and you're going to get nailed as a sex offender and it's going to follow you all through your life. If that even matters anymore, does it even matter anymore? We live in a structure where the Senate can all of a sudden just be like, yeah, well, we have the majority and we don't really like what you're doing. So we're not going to listen to your evidence about Alejandro Mayorkas being impeached. Sorry. Bye-bye. California Senate Democrats reject a bill to make purchasing a child for sex a felony. I want you to hear this. You read the headline right. This is on CaliforniaGlobe.com. Written by Katie Grimes, and good for you, Katie. California State Senator Shannon Grove, she's a Republican from Bakersfield, authorized Senate Bill 1414. It's It's a bipartisan measure to strengthen protections for minor victims by making the act of soliciting, agreeing to engage in, or engaging in any form of commercial sex, selling a child like a prostitute with sex charging these people with felony offenses, sex offender registry required on repeat offenses. I mean, I'm good with chemical castration. Anybody? I'm kind of good with that. I'm not really picky. If that's what your goal is to have sex with a child, I don't have words for you. Now, notably, Grove's bill was jointly authored by Democrat senators as well. And according to Senator Grove, this Senate bill states that any individual who tries to do disgusting things ought to have the book thrown at them, including jail time, including $25,000 in fines, including mandatory registration as a sex offender. Shoot, we should wrap you in a damn sandwich board that says, I'm a disgusting scumbag. Keep your kids away from me. Public outrage. There was some outrage when this stuff came out. Wait, they're doing what to children? What? But all six bills, by the way, there had been six bills proposed to keep disgusting people away from our children. And the Democrats tanked every single one of them, including this vote yesterday. And you have to ask yourself, why ever would that be? I guess it's far more lucrative. And there are a lot of people in California in on the take. And that had us thinking, wait a minute, six bills? What else has been tanked by the Democrats? How about this? These are Democrat-backed California laws. Senate Bill 145 allows convicted pedophiles to not register as sex offenders if a victim was over the age of 14 and there was a 10-year or less age difference. We're getting into freaking bullet points? Nobody's just going to be like, hey, how about you don't fiddle with our kids? Senate Bill 132 allows men to transfer into women's prisons if they self-identify as a woman with no guardrails. Why not? AB 5 ended the livelihoods of millions of hardworking independent business owners and gig workers starting in January 2020. AB 665 gave insurance equity, but also allows children over the age of 12 to run away from home. And the state will house them with no parental consent. This is what Democrats pushed and got. How about this? Senate Bill 107 creates California as a sanctuary state for child sterilization and mutilation and gives state power to take custody of kids from any state if one parent doesn't agree. Wow, it sounds an awful lot like big government stealing your children. How about this? Proposition 45, a measure reducing the criminal penalties on many nonviolent drug and property crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. Oh, you were high on meth? And you suffocated your screaming infant in the cushions of your couch? Well, you probably didn't mean it. You can be free. That just happened. I believe in Indianapolis. We'll be telling you about that momentarily. And how about this one? AB 1078 removes local control of school boards and silences parents who object to inappropriate policies and sexual material in their schools. I didn't have children for people to sexualize them. I had children because I was desperate to know what that was like. And the minute it happened, I wanted it again. And then I wanted it again. And then I wanted it again. California, you are the extreme, progressive, woke, indefensible, lawless, indiscriminate, deviant Canada. And they're going off a cliff. Do you think I should leave that out of my conversation for graduation night with my family? So how do you all feel about having sex with children? Because I think it should be a felony. You? Maybe not. Maybe after the first bottle of wine. So let's talk about this. It's the Jennifer Granholm excuse. Gave it to you yesterday. I didn't know that I had a portfolio with Proterra in it, the electric bus company that we gave a multi-billion-dollar contract to. I'm sorry. A mom high on meth used that defense to get out of prison time for killing her baby. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. You know, in the commercial break off camera, off air, Brock and I were talking about just, it really is baffling. It really is baffling. Because really nothing that we're watching is very complicated. The mechanism by which bad people do bad things and try to get away with it and cover it up, it's really not that complicated. But Brock said to me, you know, the worst part of what you just said about this bill. And you know what, Brock? Can I have that sound? Did you kill that sound? I want to play for you the state senator, Shannon Grove, whose bill got tanked by Democrats. The same way the House impeachment got tanked by Senate Democrats in the United States Capitol. I want you to hear what she had to say. Look, I've got survivors of child sexual assault behind me. This is something that is serious. And if we are a kind and humane people who live with rationale and with common sense, this has to stop. There must be strict punitive measures against people who are scumbags. Listen to the state senator after her bill got tanked.
Most of these people standing behind me are survivors that were brutally attacked by their buyers. They're the ones that came to us and said, address the buyer situation. And we did that. The committee forced amendments on us, that I declined to accept. And it only lessens the impact that we can go after. They want to exclude 16, 17 years old. They want to exclude them from this.
So it's okay if you get raped if you're 16 or 17. If you get bought and sold into slavery, sexual slavery, as a 16-year-old, that's okay. She's literally on the brink of tears because it's that moment that you realize that you're not surprised, which is what Brock just said. Isn't that the most striking part of all of this? Is that nothing that we have gone through makes you say, what? Now, I do that a lot on the show. I'll say, what? Because it's a joke. We cannot get numb to the suck, to the darkness. So I like to usually wrap you guys up on something positive, but this is what we're up against. These things need to be discussed. Fox59.com. Judge finds Indianapolis mother not guilty of neglect in the death of her 2-month-old baby girl. How is that possible? An Indianapolis mother is found not guilty after being accused of neglect resulting in the death of her 2-month-old daughter. Inside a home on Burton Avenue, police found a 2-month-old girl unresponsive. The newborn child, identified as Alona Lacey, died on the scene. 5 months later, the girl's mother, Dacia Lacey, was charged with causing her child's death before announcing his verdict. Judge Mark Stoner told the suspect she was a bad parent and she was not innocent. Child is dead. You're a bad parent. I'm not so sure if that cuts it. The judge believes she was guilty of involuntary manslaughter, because she wasn't charged with that crime. He instead found her not guilty of negligence, of neglect rather, resulting in death. What did she do? Court records show the mother gave a lengthy confession in which she tearfully admitted she smothered her daughter in the couch cushions because she was high on meth and wanted the child to stop crying and be quiet so she could get some sleep. Lacey always maintained the death inside the home was an accident, didn't intend to kill her child. Not so sure what smothering with a couch cushion is supposed to do. Lull them to sleep. At the end of her trial, Judge Stoner chastised Lacey, saying her actions were reckless. Stoner, though, insisted prosecutors did not prove she intentionally harmed her daughter. Intent. Nope. It's the same thing that the Senate did to Alejandro Mayorkas. Ah, he really didn't mean to do anything. Nah, we're not going to listen to these articles. Really? If she had been convicted, this mom would have faced between 20 and 40 years behind bars. Instead, she's now free. And attorneys for both sides declined to comment after the verdict. Because they probably went out for happy hour, too. Judge's case is over. Let's go. And then who is lost at the end? A two-month-old baby who could have grown up to be and to do anything. That is what is so offensive about the real insurrection yesterday in the Senate. And that is when 51 members of the Democratic Party decide that they are above the Constitution, that they are above the law, that they are above the evidence, and that they do not care about you. It used to be we could all agree on the kids. I guess I've just been in the dark about what's been going on because it's nothing new. And in California, it's allowed. And the people keep getting reelected. It's not sustainable. Because at some point, you become so morally bankrupt. There's nothing left. And I think that is the race to the bottom that a lot of these globalists hope we hit fast forward to achieve. Total destruction. There are a lot of things I'd love to say to my son as he graduates college in just a couple weeks. The majority of what I've shared with you today probably won't be part of it. But I will say to my five sons and my sisters, too. We should have done better. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, back here on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Peace.